Hey, Selfish Babes. Welcome back to the Selfish Babes Selfish Talk podcast. It is your girl, Olenike Osibowale here. And I am actually super duper excited to release this beautiful episode to you, okay? I interviewed the great Miss Pravala. And for those that of you that don't know Miss Pravala, how would I describe Miss Pravala? I would say Miss Pravala is a goddess. Honestly, Miss Pravala is a living goddess. That's why this episode is titled Miss Pravala, the Vanilla.
Mental and emotional wellness is important. I'm so grateful that more and more people are openly talking about going to therapy, Selfish Babe. If you have been thinking about getting therapy, I would highly recommend it. An easy way to find a licensed therapist would be through a company called BetterHelp, the sponsor of this episode. They've helped over 2.5 million people connect with a therapist and get the accessible therapy that they deserve. Prices are affordable and they even have financial aid options. To check them out, go to betterhelp.com/selfishbabe or click the link in the show notes to get 10% off your first month. Love you.
Lucian goddess to know everything luxury spirituality. Miss Pravala is a goddess that I feel like I was introduced to about a year and a half ago through YouTube. I saw some of her YouTube videos. I really liked what she embodied. I liked what she was talking about, luxury spirituality, goddesses, as well as some African spirituality practices. And I had never seen somebody on the internet kind of embody all the things together that I love. And Miss Pravala does that by living her best life, okay? And so in this episode, I had the beautiful opportunity to interview her. I know that you guys are gonna love this conversation. Make sure to add her on Instagram. You may not see much posted on Instagram right now, but still add her on Instagram. And where you can find her most active right now would be on YouTube. Just search Miss Pravala, as well as on TikTok. But affirming you guys love this episode, make sure to screenshot and tag me at Olenike Osibowale, at Selfish Babe, at the Selfish Talk Podcast, and at Official Miss Pravala. Love you guys. Bye. Hey, Selfish Babe, if you've ever wanted to start your own podcast, I recommend trying Anchor by Spotify. It's the platform I love for podcasting. I really love it because some days you just want to get out what you want to say easily, and the Anchor app allows you to record your podcast right from your phone. One of my favorite things I love about Anchor is that you can add background music to each episode and cut audio quickly to add in advertisements. Anchor will distribute your podcast to all the major platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, and more. Anchor is free. To get started, go to anchor.fm to start your podcast today. Maybe one day you'll be making millions from your podcast. I forgot to add, this is a part one of two episodes. Our interview was almost 2 hours, and I didn't just want to have that be one episode. And so this is part one of part two. Part two will be up next.
Welcome to my beautiful Selfish Babes joining the Selfish Babes Selfish Talk podcast. I am truly, truly excited to be interviewing the Venusian goddess herself, Miss Pravala. I'm so excited that she said yes to this interview, and I know that you guys are going to love it. And so, Miss Pravala, mm-hmm. will you say hi to our Selfish Babes?
Hi, Selfish Babes. I hope this... This whatever we're doing today is carrying a message of lavish abundance, and that as you come out of that, you realize that you hold the keys already. You are the full divine entitlement, and you're fully supported by your guides and by the whole cosmic celestial family. So it doesn't matter what happens, and whatever I say, this is already the big message that I have for you.
Ashe, thank you. Yeah. So, Miss Pravala, I want to start off by first letting our audience kind of get to know you. From what I believe, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I believe you grew up in Cameroon. Is that right?
Gabon,
yes. Mm-hmm. Well, would you be able to tell us a little bit about your childhood and about your visits to the river and just about a little bit about how you grew up? Because we want to know that.
Okay, so Gabon is near Cameroon. Mm-hmm. So for that, you're 100% correct. It's a Bantu, part of the Bantu group, which is in sub-Saharan Africa. It's the group that you find in Cameroon, Congo, Gabon, Angola, and other other countries as well.
Yeah.
What's very particular about Gabon is that it's tiny, it's small.
Yeah.
And it has 54 ethnic groups with less than 2 million people total.
Okay.
54 ethnic groups, meaning 54 different tribes speaking different languages, which have nothing to do with one another.
Yeah.
So it's 2 million people, 50 plus languages, different types of, you know, just the way we look and the way we even go to, culturally speaking, the way we relate to one another.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know, but during slavery and colonization, the whole African continent was split into arbitrary countries, which actually would not be countries. Okay. Basically, they put people that were separate, different from one another together. That's why, you know, when I go to other countries, you know, Equatorial Guinea, Angola, I would speak the same native language, but we don't speak the same official language. Gabon is very particular as well because it was able to maintain an authentic spirituality.
Okay.
Which basically was a report to the divinity, to God.
Okay.
Which was never taken away from us. So the way we were able to do that was two ways. There were two groups that basically split. The first one decided to take upon religious codes. So Christian codes. So you will see Gabonese people performing our rites, our rituals.
Yeah.
But sort of playing it in a theatrical mass, you know, like the way you go to church.
Okay.
So different symbolism. And I have found that in some of my initiations in West Africa, in Santeria as well, where they have actually exported some of the codes of using some saints' names to actually call some of our own ancestors' names.
Yeah.
So that was a way to protect our spirituality, but still be safe during times that were difficult. So carrying, you know, spirituality and divinity using church codes, but then the other part, and which is actually what other spiritualities like voodoo decided to do, which was to demonize ourselves.
Yeah.
So that, I don't want to say the white men, but that's what it was before.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'd be scared,
basically.
So purposefully coming up as bad witchcraft.
Yeah.
In order for them not to come and invade and take, you know, our secrets, our relics, our statues, and things like that. So that's why a lot of times you would hear, you know, anything that is not mainstream monotheistic religion being portrayed as evil.
Yeah.
It was actually done on purpose.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So some of, even some of the masks, some of the face paints that may look sometimes
scary.
Horrific, scary.
Yeah.
We're actually the nicest. The nicest divine beings actually portrayed as such. It was a way to reach, shield ourselves. Because what happened, and this is actually a big debate even here in Europe, all throughout Europe, where we now have a big discussion on all of the museums carrying our statues, you know, from the pharaohs, but also all of the stuff that we use for our spirituality in like the small villages, being the main course, so to speak, of those museums that get millions and millions of people, tourists traveling, you know, so.
But none of that money goes back to where it actually came from.
Exactly, exactly. And their argument is basically that Africans did not know how to preserve art, cultural art. So it's basically, it's a, the argument is to help us have, you know, keep it, you know, for long generations. So that's the big thing with Gabon.
Yeah.
I was never disconnected from my spirituality.
Yeah.
And when I come from a tribe which is known as the Mermaid Tribe,
nice.
It's called Miene. And basically just because we're along the river and along the ocean.
Okay.
And it was basically one of the ports, the points where, you know, like the where the slaves would be basically shipped off.
Yeah.
For us, it was mainly Brazil.
Okay.
Because it's across the ocean from us.
Yeah.
Places like Senegal, it was more the US.
Okay.
And the Caribbean. So growing up, I actually don't even remember how young I was when I started communicating. The first, I would call her a goddess. Some people call her an Orisha. She's really my sister, Oshun.
Yeah.
She would probably be as sub-Saharan African people, our oldest, you say in English, oldest ancestor.
Yeah. And just for those listening, what's your first language, Ms. Prabala?
It's also Miene. The name is Miene.
Yes. I mean, your first language.
Yeah, Miene.
That's the language? Oh, I've never heard of it before.
Well,
you're like, what?
remember, I told you my country has less than 2 million and we're split into 50 groups and subgroups. So it's, probably 200,000 people speak that language today.
Okay. Wow, that's beautiful.
Tiny.
Yes. So she's well-versed in different languages. So just if she's like, what does it mean in English? I just want you guys to know she has different languages under her belt. That's for my audience to know when you mentioned that. But
yes.
You mentioned your first goddess that you communicated with was Oshun. And how would you describe Oshun to our audience?
Okay, as a little girl, Oshun first appeared to me. Okay, let me just explain the scene, how it happened. I used to go, my great-grandmother was actually, everyone in my family is a healer in some sense, meaning that, you know, they do it openly.
Yeah.
And my great-grandmother was part of a group which is called Djembe.
Yeah.
And Djembe is actually the name that was later on given to a drum. Which is basically the main instrument we use as Miene to call upon our ancestors once we open the ceremonials, actually, which is really something that we did every night to open the paths.
Yeah.
We use the drums. And the drums were only supposed to be touched by men because it represented Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Divine feminine,
mm-hmm.
Sexual energy,
mm-hmm.
creative energy, and the infinity sign. That is why the djembe drum is unlike other drums that you find, because you have, it's really, you know, really like an eight shape.
Okay. Yeah.
With the two parts, top and bottom, being the same size, which is not the same as other drums that you find in other cultures, North Africa, places like Morocco.
Yeah.
It's different types. So the djembe ceremony or ritual is the first initiation we do as Miene women, because it's a women's only initiation where we are taught how to become women, how to use our sexual energy, what it means, how to connect to earth. We do dance rituals, symbolic dance rituals, symbolic
Hey, Selfish Babe, if you are a new listener to my podcast, hello. And if you are a longtime listener, I love you. Thank you for joining me. My name is Olanike Osibowale, and I'm the CEO of both Selfish Babe and Goddess Detox. I am the face and wisdom behind Selfish Babe. In 4 years, I was able to bring in $10 million in revenue through my company, Goddess Detox. Of course, I did the work, but I also connected with my ancestors and my spiritual self-love practices to assist me. I truly believe that where I am today, it is the work that I was able to do in the spiritual to help elevate me to who I am today. With me, self-love is more than painting your toes and taking a bubble bath. Every woman is innately powerful in her own way. I had a masterclass recording where I talked about you can have all the money in the world and you can still hate yourself. You can get all the surgery in the world and you can still hate yourself. And so for me, it's truly important that women connect to self-love on a deeper way, on a way that feels really good for them, in a way that they step into their power and that they start honoring themselves as goddesses. I truly believe that I'm a living goddess, and I want to teach you how you can become the same in your own way through my spiritual self-love practices. I have my Selfish as Fuck Academy, where I teach all my spiritual self-love practices, such as connecting with your ancestors, using the herbs to cleanse yourself off of negativity, as well as to attract prosperity and abundance into your life, how to set up your self-love altar, do your rituals for self-love, and really romance yourself. And so if you are a woman who wants to love herself as well as manifest like a goddess, then you want to join my Selfish as Fuck Academy today. You can go to selfishbabe.com and go to courses and find my Selfish as Fuck Academy, or you can go to selfishafacademy.com and join today. I love you guys. Bye.
Songs and things like that. And my great-grandmother had become one of the leaders in that group. And she was also a healer, which I didn't know back then. I just knew that that must be my assistant.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, you were talking about the djembe drum, and then your grandma being a healer, but she didn't know that she was a healer.
Exactly. So what we would usually do is once a week, usually on Friday, we would go to the forest. And the forest for us is along the beach. So we don't have like the Caribbean postcard type of beach where, you know, it's like the coconut trees and whatever. For us, it's the beach and then dense forest.
Okay.
If you think of our forest, think of the Amazonian forest in Brazil, which is actually, I believe, thousands of years ago, it was the same because we are, you know, the continents just made one. It's the same forest. It's actually a protected forest as well. Okay. Very dense, very difficult to penetrate. So we would go there once a week, and I would usually just naturally be drawn to a stream as my great-grandmother would go along, you know. She just did stuff. I just saw her talking to things, talking to trees, mainly before cutting parts of the bark, you say, the bark of the tree.
Yeah.
And different plants, because we don't take anything from nature before asking nature spirits for permission. Otherwise, it just doesn't heal. You can't steal from nature because it removes the ashe from whatever. Hmm. And so I would just be there by the stream looking, talking to my great-grandmother. And I saw the first time I saw Oshun, it was a reflection. I saw her on the water, basically. Like something moving like that on the water.
Yeah.
And it drew me. I just felt very like, what is it, you know? And then she would sing to me.
Nice.
And she would tell me, come closer, come closer, come closer. And at that point, I don't know what language she spoke, really. I just knew that I understood what she meant.
Yeah.
And we would just talk. She would tell me that I am pretty, that I'm a pretty girl, that she's proud of me, that I shouldn't be scared. Things like that. And I would just laugh. And then I would tell my great-grandmother, I called her Iya. So let's just say Iya instead of saying great-grandmother. So I would just tell Iya, hey, the nice lady is here again.
The nice lady.
And she would say, hey, you know, yes, say hello to her for me.
Yeah.
So nice. The fact that we are so into our spirituality, and I cannot tell you if Iya was able to see her or not. It's just that at that moment when maybe most parents would have told their kids that, you know, they're making up stuff, you know, closing the gates, she made it something completely natural for me.
Yeah.
So I actually very much looked forward to go into the forest, because for me, I was going to see the nice lady.
Yeah.
And she would tell me that she would like leave stuff for me, little surprises, little candy. She knew I loved sweet stuff.
Yeah.
So she would tell me things like that. She would tell me stories about her, about how she had been a little girl as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, how she takes care of little girls like me.
Yeah.
Just really, like, I really felt embraced.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and it really helped me because a few years later, I experienced traumatic experiences, like the loss of my great-grandmother, the loss of my father, different things like that.
Yeah.
I was also a child that was often very sick. I was born with a disease called sickle cell anemia.
Yeah.
Which is very, very common among Black people. But I have two genetic deformities.
Yeah.
Which are similar. And one comes from the Mediterranean and the other one comes from Africa. I have both from having ancestry in Cyprus and Greece from one of my great grandfathers.
Yeah.
I had both. So I was a very sick child. I was very fragile and I would always really just like take care of me. I would drink like all types of mixtures to really be healthy.
Yeah.
And having Oshun there she was really my first guardian angel, I would say.
Yeah.
She really, for me, was my guardian angel. I would fall asleep, you know, and she would be like always near me, you know, almost like the thing that you need to reassure you. And
yeah.
I know that when my father died, it really, really helped me because I was in such distress that...
Yeah.
The pain, to be able to cope with the pain, she helped me quite a lot.
How old were you when he passed?
I was 10, 11.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was the typical daddy's girl.
Yeah.
Typical. Up to today, there are people in my town that don't even know my name. They think my name is Princess.
Really?
I saw an old man this past summer and he's like, Princess. And I was like, you don't know my name? He's like, your name is Princess. So it was a really difficult time of my life. It was the first real awakening, I think.
Yeah.
The first event that really forced me to see life as not just the 3D thing we're, you know, seeing, but being able to see that there's something beyond that.
Yeah.
And to know that there are so many ways that I would actually connect with my dad until today. He's one of my soldiers today.
Ashe. I love that. I was going to ask, so how did you get into what you call now goddess spirituality? Because I feel like there was a period of, at least from your book, pleasure, you know, of kind of conforming to society and then not conforming anymore. So how do we get from there to where you are now in terms of goddess spirituality and fully embracing who you are and, you know, the different goddesses that come to you?
The pressure to conform really came my last year of high school.
Yeah.
When I realized that it wasn't cool to speak about some of that stuff anymore. Because I would get not mocked, but you know, peer pressure at that age is important. And I was a very how can I say? There was a lot of responsibility on my shoulder. I was the first grandchild.
Yeah.
Of my mom being the first child as well.
Yeah.
I had naturally straight A's without really making any effort. I was a really good student. So there was sort of an expectation of social success.
Yeah.
Or at least carrying that. Because for where I come from, appearances are very important.
Yeah.
Demeanor is very important. And even though there has been, you know, the whole colonization and things like that, we still know who is of noble blood and not.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So based on your name, the name of the neighborhood where your family is from, which used to be a village, things of that nature.
Okay.
So those who know would actually call you with a word that shows that you are that first.
Okay.
So social
status was a thing. You know, if you
social
said
social status from- and be, yes, and being able to be seen as, you know, portraying that social status without having to say I am that.
Yeah.
Was very important.
Okay.
And for some reason, I never, unlike some of the kids that went to school with me, I never, I went to a French all girls Catholic school as well. So, but the very strict one, but I never went, I never drank alcohol. I never smoked anything. I was not rebellious in any kind, and somehow this spirituality thing was my rebellion, was the only way I was different.
Yeah.
So I sort of had to put that aside because it was just not, it was not cool. And my mother was also into that whole social system where she had rejected spirituality as being, you know, like, this is not, you know, in order to survive in society, she pushed that aside.
I have a question.
I've been
for society in that time, like, was Christianity or Catholicism seen as the religion that you practice, like the religion that people outwardly showed like to be a part of?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it hasn't changed today.
Okay.
The big joke for us is you go to the temple on Friday and you go to church on Sunday.
Okay.
Church is a social event.
Okay.
Where you have to be seen, where you have to dress up, where you have to, basically where you show off how wealthy you are.
Okay.
Or how good your kids are, or how, period. I'm not going to say anything else about that.
Okay.
So it's very rare to have people like me who openly say that I am not a Christian.
Yeah.
I do not abide. I do not play the game of Christianity. I do not believe in an ancestor called Jesus for me.
I'm laughing because, I say that a lot to my selfish babies. I'm like, I let them know that I'm not Christian and that's not what I practice. But I said, if that's what you practice, whatever. But I laugh because for me, I'm like, oh, Jesus is an ancestor. But you're like, well, he's not my ancestor. So I just thought that was hilarious.
I mean, remember, you have...
Mental and emotional wellness is important. I'm so grateful that more and more people are openly talking about going to therapy, Selfish Babe. If you have been thinking about getting therapy, I would highly recommend it. An easy way to find a licensed therapist would be through a company called BetterHelp, the sponsor of this episode. They've helped over 2.5 million people connect with a therapist and get the accessible therapy that they deserve. Prices are affordable and they even have financial aid options. To check them out, go to betterhelp.com/selfishbabe or click the link in the show notes to get 10% off your first month. Love you. Hey, Selfish Babes. Welcome to part two of my interview with Fabiana Ferrarini of the Queen Warriors Fitness Program. If you are just now tuning in and you have not listened to part one, make sure to scroll back a couple episodes and listen to that one before this one. Let's get into it.
I have a church. A Roman Catholic church, and that has its roots in some pseudo Israelite tribe, which in fact was the darkest shade of black. We'll call it, people of Nubia, which is why in even in the Ethiopian Bible and the original Bible, and even in the Gnostic text, you have a Jesus, a Yeshua, described as having copper skin and cotton-like hair, which is why when he tries to escape, he goes to Egypt, aka Kemet or Nubia, yeah, in a place where he would not be recognized because he looked like his peers.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a Jesus, which is an original Jew, okay? An Israelite, an original Jew.
Yeah.
Portrayed, described as a black man.
Yeah.
Who goes to Nubia to escape the low melanated people.
Yeah.
Because in Nubia, they look like him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So in that sense, if I'm calling upon an ancestor called Jesus, I have to acknowledge that he's part of my ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot strengthen the egregore of Isaac and Jacob,
yeah,
which is fortifying a group of people, which is not me.
Mm.
So I know some people, even those who don't, from my culture, who don't necessarily believe, but who do it because their parents have done it, because that's the way you do it. They don't even question it anymore.
Yeah.
Even that is still participating and strengthening a group of people, which has for generations come to us, taken from us, passed as us, and claim that our powers are evil or are null.
Yeah.
And that we should follow them.
Yeah.
So no, Jesus is not my ancestor.
Sure.
And I know for a fact that my first angels, my first guardians, the messengers between me and the high cosmic divinities, the high ministries, are my ancestors.
Okay.
And that is why everyone should claim their royal bloodline. You're not royal because of some social accepted notion of a nobility that was imposed on you.
Hmm.
You're royal because you're part of the highest type of royalty, which is God.
Ashe.
Period. And the way for me to succeed in life is to acknowledge those who are here to help me instead of turning my back on those who are here to help me. How can I pray in a language that they don't even understand? I'm going to pray, you know, on a group of people. Imagine I pray in Chinese. I mean, you know, have you seen Asians claiming their God to be blonde hair and blue eyed? No.
Some. There are some.
Some.
Yes. I will say there are some.
It's true. Koreans.
Yes.
You know, those who have accepted the invasion.
Yeah.
The big majority. Or Indians.
Yeah.
You know? So it's important for us to claim our power back. And it's just, first of all, by acknowledging our spirituality.
Yeah.
Because for me, once you connect to that, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
It's easier to put your boundaries because you know who you are.
Yeah.
And you know that there's stuff that you cannot tolerate anymore because of who you are.
Yeah. I really like that. I really like your perspective. I like your truth. And I know that, you know, for some people, that truth may shake up, you know, or make them think. I think that's the thing that I like. It makes them think, because for me, what I see is that a lot of people, especially some women, they just do it because their moms did it. They just did it because their grandparents did it. And when I say it, I mean, abide by Christianity or Catholicism. And that's, I'm doing this because this is what I was taught. This is what I grew up in. And so for them, they find it very difficult to say, well, I'm actually maybe interested in something different. I feel like it feels scary for them because it's like African type of spirituality, right? Can seem demonic, can seem evil. They'll say, oh, that's the devil. Mm-hmm. But then it's like when you try to bring that to maybe your mom or grandma, they may not understand. And then the large majority of the world is practicing Christianity because that's the socially acceptable religion that people abide by. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoyed you sharing your own personal truth on like what you abide by and like, you know, the openness of that. And I appreciate that, because I tell my people all the time, like, well, I'm not Christian, but that's me, you know. But I feel like when more people say it and more people are honest about it, I feel like it helps other people feel more open about it, or even open to thinking, I think I actually want to try something different. This may not be working for me. Mm-hmm. And the only reason they're doing it is because of, oh, well, they practiced it. That's what everybody else does, you know, especially Black people in America, because it's just like, if you say that you're not Christian and you're Black in America, it's like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Everybody's Black. Everybody believes in Jesus. What are you saying? You know? So I just wanted to say, I really appreciate that truth. But what would you tell some of our selfish babes that's like, well, I don't really know maybe what my ancestors practiced. Like, what would you tell them to start doing? Because a lot of my ancestors practice Christianity. I may not believe in it, but I have the Bible for my grandma on her ancestor altar, because that's what I know that she practiced.
Of course. First of all, I don't think I would ever, I wouldn't go around this route. I would say, how do you want to feel God?
Ashe.
God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the years and years I went to Catholic school, mm-hmm. practiced forced confession every Friday, where I was forced to lie because I didn't think I had sinned, but I had to make up.
Okay.
Sin. Because you don't walk out of the priest room unless you've said your sins and he has blessed you. Put his hand over my crown chakra. Belittling me and my powers, closing my powers.
Yeah.
How many? Like, I can't even count. For all of the times I was forced to go to church to get my first communion, and then all of the sacraments of Catholicism.
Yeah.
I never felt God's presence.
Hmm.
Never. The first time I asked a question in Bible school, I was shut down because I was called, like, I was trying to be sassy or whatever. And I was put back in the room for the rest of the year because I dared asking a question that didn't make sense to me, which was a very simple question. I asked, in the Bible, Jesus appears until he's 12 years old in front of the temples. Then we don't talk about him. The moment when he reappears, he's 32. What happened for those 20 years?
Yeah.
If you don't know, tell me. I don't know, child.
Yeah.
You know? But I learned that day that for me, I was good in school. I was just going to learn Bible and everything religious. And I was just going to rehash, just like I went to school and talked about geography or history or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just repeated like a parrot. And I got good grades at Bible school.
Yeah.
And I promised myself that the last day of the day I would have my sacrament, it was almost like I signed, that's it. That was the last day I went to church.
Wow.
And I never felt God. I never felt God's presence.
Yeah.
I felt God's presence when I was with my great-grandmother sitting on the porch eating sugar canes when she was doing my hair every other day.
Yeah.
You know, just talking. She was telling me stories and I would feel angels coming around me. I would feel God's presence then. Wow. But never when in church, in the place where God is supposed to live, I never felt God. So for me, it's really the first thing. Do you want to feel God's presence? Do you want to know what it is? And is Christianity really serving that purpose?
Yeah.
Do you know yourself as a Christian? Do you have all of the answers of why am I here as a Christian?
Hmm.
How can I be a prosperous child of God as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
or as a Muslim or whatever? For me, it would be the first thing. And that's when you have an openness, because then they're like, okay. The second route I would go about would be to talk about the fact that spirituality is a human thing.
Yeah.
That you can actually be a Christian or anything else and be spiritual, because you don't have to learn. You don't have to read the Bible to be a spiritual person. You don't have to read the Vedas to be, you know, a spiritual. It's about connecting to the God within you, the consciousness of God, the seed of God within you.
Hmm.
There's nothing, it's the simplest thing to be spiritual.
Hmm.
It's accepting that I am God's particle here.
Yeah.
And God has many languages. You know, why not finding my language?
Yeah. You had mentioned connecting to the consciousness of God within you. And how would you say that somebody does that?
Oh my God. Closing your eyes. Quiet.
Yeah.
Learning to be with yourself.
I see.
It's so simple, but yet we're so used to being distracted.
Yeah.
You know, that we want everything fast. Like we want, like, what is it called? Gratification?
Yeah, instant gratification.
Yes. What about just taking 5 minutes every day? Closing your eyes, not expecting anything.
Hmm.
And observing what happens. And then you first see the chaos that is within you.
Mm.
All of the shatter and the voices and the... And the more you do it without expectation, just to be with you, because you're the most precious person for yourself.
I say.
If you can't even spend time with you, you know, yeah. Why would... Now I'm speaking in metaphysical terms. Why would the universe... You know, spend time on you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
No? You want to receive, but you don't even want to be with you.
Uh-huh.
You know? So it's being with you first, before even the rituals, because Venusians have a particular way. It's very ritualized.
Yeah.
You know? Because we work with a specific, with an engine.
Yeah.
You know, that needs to be fueled and awakened, because it's been dormant, because it's been shut down, because it's been in trauma and in false beliefs.
Yeah.
So as Venusians, yes, we have rituals. But before even getting to the rituals, silence. Honoring me.
Mm-hmm.
Honoring me. And that's when you become the greatest priestess, actually. If everyone... did that, or if everyone taught their girls and boys to do that,
yeah.
You know, their queens and kings to do that, there would be no need of people like me.
Hmm.
Because everyone would walk around as being their own God on earth.
Yes. I tell my selfish babes that often about sitting with yourself and sitting in solitude or spending time with yourself. So I just kept saying, because it's the same message reiterated. So, as you selfish babes heard, Ms. Pravala says the same thing. Thank you, Ms. Pravala, for that. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something I was going to get into, which you talked about Venusians. I know a lot of my selfish babes do not know what Venusians are. And so, can you kind of give us a little bit about that? And, like, how did you know you were a Venusian?
Are they ready?
Yes, they are.
Because this is woo-woo stuff, okay?
You have we want to hear all of it.
You have to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know what's the demographic of your selfish babes, but I know that in new age type of people, which from what I see, because we're talking about the US, it's a lot of Caucasians,
yeah,
that do like Wicca stuff.
Yeah.
Hoodoo borrowed stuff,
mm-hmm,
that they put together and like mash up, and they now serve you like specialized terms because that's their kind. They're good. They're good at archiving other people's stuff and making sense of it.
Yeah.
And it completely disturbs the whole process, because now you're going to go into meditation and searching for something instead of acknowledging that, no, you're not supposed to go and see what someone else saw, you know? Mm. It's not a movie. Yeah. It's your experience. It's your path.
Yeah.
But in the whole,
I just want you to know that I have a lot of Black women listeners. I have mixed listeners, but a large majority of the Selfish Babes are Black women.
Okay.
Just want to put that out there.
You know, ethnic background doesn't matter in reality. It shouldn't matter. But we're still experiencing the 3D. So history, you know, there's still a story, even though we have to detach ourselves from the story. And that's why I talked about this. But the new age group is massively white.
Yeah.
And if you go on, you know, blogs or videos or whatever, you will see that mainly, you know, like very boho looking and, you know, people who have gone to temples, to India and things like that. People who are searching or genuinely searching. And there are terms that have come, you know, things like rainbow child, star seeds and things like that. So there is a truth to that. And basically, the way you can understand, I'm giving a premise. The way as human beings, we have different origins, ethnic origins, different specialties, natural abilities. As above, so below. It is a reflection of how all of the eons of galaxies are constructed.
Okay.
So you have different realms and dimensions.
Yes.
The way I've experienced it is almost like countries where people are of pure blood, where they're not mixing, because it's, I mean, the astral and the other dimensions are highly technological, let me just say. So you can't mix an Arcturian with a Pleiadian or whatever, because the whole system of how those realms are conducted, it's like they serve their divine purpose already.
Okay.
So all of those realms, what I have seen, how I interpret it is when I've traveled there, is that beings, entities from those different realms wait online, queue to experience the 3D. So they actually, I have seen lines where it's like they're waiting for a new child to be born, a new seed to be created. And, you know, and the soul enters that child.
Yeah.
So it's very, it's like I say, it's very technological, what I've seen. And as a Venusian, anything that's complicated is really weird to me. But I feel that there's even like something about astrology and the date of birth and the, you know, like all of that actually is all interrelated as in why a Venusian versus a Pleiadian would actually enter a body. Almost like they have their time slots. And it's like, on that time slot, it's a Venusian that incarnates.
Okay.
So a Venusian is one of the many, many, many types of entities that are part of those other dimensions, which you can actually enter through the 4D, the astral.
Okay.
With your consciousness.
Okay.
But it's even more complex than that, because our brain can't fathom really.
Yeah.
Like I said, the technology, the complexity of it.
Yeah.
And there are many, many, many. So as a Venusian, how did I know? First of all, I had to know that Oshun was a Venusian. Because every time she talked to me, there was something about Venus.
Yeah.
Something about Venus. It was always that word coming, Venus, 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 Venus. So I didn't know I was of that kind up to probably when I was 24.
Okay.
When I started getting back to really embracing the weirdness that I was as a spiritual.
Yeah.
And basically, I naturally have this ability to close my eyes. I go to sleep very easily.
Okay.
Leave my physical body and go home.
Sure.
So, and I would know that that place was home for me.
Yeah.
The moment I was there, everything felt like, oh my God, this is home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every time I would come back into my body, I would actually feel depressed because I actually naturally wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
So, and how did I know? Because I was told, this is your home. This is your home. This is Venus. Yeah. This is Venus. This is the Venus realm. And then I would come and then I would be greeted by Ishtar.
Yeah.
And then Ishtar would take me and she would bathe me in a fountain. She would like literally wash me. And inside of the fountain, there was a ruby. So there was light. And I felt in the fountain even, and it smelled like menstrual blood.
Wow.
And so all of those things, it was really for me, the moment I was ready, it was about connecting the dots because everything, all of the symbols, everything that I experienced there were really telling me, you know, sexual energy, the womb.
Yeah.
And the fact that I was actually able to, at some point, not get out of my body, but into my womb to go to Venus, which is even, as I'm saying this, it sounds really weird, but, you know, go inside and Venus is within us. We have this, actually all of the realms are associated with our chakras anyways. So that's the thing though, when people say meditation, it's, you know, it's not what, you know, you know, meditation is embodying.
Yes.
Is going in. You don't have to go out to meet God because all of the cosmos has been put inside of us. So I always knew. I always knew.
I have multiple questions. The first one is, okay, so you mentioned going home within your womb, and within your womb is Venus. Would you say that there are multiple other planets within your womb, or is just specifically in your womb is Venus because you are a Venusian?
No. Everyone's womb is a Venusian womb. That's why in the Yoni webinar, I explain the Holy Grail of how each part, starting from the lips, you know, your labia, all the way to, you know, the inner walls of the womb, which would be, you know, like the tail of the cup.
Yeah.
Which goddess is at which point.
Okay.
You know, and why, for example, if you're experiencing pain in your leg, for me, I know that when I'm disconnected or when I'm, there's something that is happening, or Oshun, I always have pain on my left ovary because that's the home of Oshun.
Okay.
On every woman's womb. So every part of our bodies is a dimension, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and then I had another question because I have more questions the more you talk. And I know my selfish babes have questions. So for example, you said Oshun's on the left ovary. Now, how do you know this? Is it because Oshun told you, or is it because you just know because you visited there?
Both.
Okay.
Plus the third one, which is that they just showed me the map. It's like the tree of life, like the Kabbalah.
Yeah.
So every single one of them is somewhere. But the way you can actually tell is once you start even just reading the myth, because many of the front person of those goddesses are known, they're famous goddesses, famous entities. Because in front of Erzuli Freda, there are many, many, many more Erzulis, you know, that serve under that specific. It's like you go to to a hospital, and you have different specialties.
Yes.
So if you know that, for example, Erzuli or Maîtresse Ezili is known for making a masculine loyal if he's been straying away, or if you know that in mythology, we talk about the notion of being spoiled or taking, being pampered, loving luxuries, being sassy and capricious. If you have an issue with that and you identify this ancestor, I will call them as that because that's what they are. You know, okay. The word goddess even is a whole, it's another debate altogether.
Okay.
You know? But you have this ancestor, this is her specialty, this is her healing. So as you know that, sometimes you would see that, oh, do I have dryness in that area? Do I have itchiness in that area? And you start connecting, what is happening in my life right now? Am I not taking time for myself? Am I rushing? Do I have the difficulty accepting gifts in life, compliments, people holding a door for you? Because some women are like, no, I don't need, you know, all of those programmings. You can actually connect it and see that, wait a second, there's something that is happening. And actually your body has had a way of telling you that because there's a seat of that issue and its dual opposite, which is the full embracing of it and fulfillment of it within you.
Okay.
So your body can tell you already.
Yeah.
So just as an exercise for anyone who's interested, you know, in Aphrodite, whatever, in different types of mythologies, you would see that each goddess, or each ancestor has a specialty.
Yeah.
And how sometimes she would come into your life at a specific time. So that's why some people, I would say for me, for my customers and my clients, they would work with, you know, one potion for 2 years and then that's it. Because that's the work they needed to do with the specific deity, and they needed something that forced open something.
Yeah.
Well, because potions are metaphysical ingredients put together to open things fast.
Yeah.
You know, but it's something that you could do in using other ways, just that Venusians use potions.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there are many ways you can know it. It's just a matter of asking yourself, looking in the mirror and really identifying, what am I going through?
Yeah.
You know, what am I lacking? You know, what is my pursuit?
Yeah.
Why am I pursuing this specifically? You know, whereas like someone maybe similar, having a similar experience than me, may not, even you take twins, you know, why is she not needing this?
Yeah.
You know, why is my perspective on life, you know, always targeting a specific desire?
Yeah.
You know, why do I feel like I'm always missing this? You know,
and so when you ask natural those questions,
exactly, you need to start questioning your 3D in order to identify what is you the goddess is trying to tell you.
Yeah, on your journey. I was gonna say, so if you start questioning certain things that you feel like you're lacking or needing, then would you say, okay, well, find that, see that, oh, well, this goddess talks about this, which is the opposite. For example, we have talked about Lakshmi before, and she's the goddess of wealth. And so if somebody's like, okay, wealth is important to them, maybe that would be the goddess that they would work with to help them on their journey of wealth, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You talk a lot about goddess spirituality, and I feel like what you just spoke about was goddess spirituality, because it's in depth about naming the different goddesses to work with to help you on your journey. And so how would you describe that for us? Because I feel like when I first learned about you, Ms. Pravala, it was up primarily on YouTube. So if you guys have not checked out Ms. Pravala's YouTube, please do. And I'll have it linked below in the show notes. But what I really appreciate about you, Ms. Pravala, is that I feel like you were the first ever Black woman that would like talk about spirituality in a way that you did, but also like
different goddesses. Like I've seen specific people, for example, in African spirituality, they talk about like Santeria, Voodoo, Lukumi, etc. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, that's all they talk about. So mm-hmm. you're the first one that you even brought in Lakshmi and like Hindu, quote unquote, Hindu goddesses. And I'm just like, wow, I've never seen a Black woman talk about all these type of different goddesses. And kind of almost like, I don't want to say mixing because I don't want to be disrespectful, but like you bridge them together. And I like that because I know sometimes within even African spirituality, I feel like people can have a very, can be boxy. They can be boxy sometimes. And so for me, I feel like you were the first woman that I've met that like embraced all types of different goddesses from different areas of the world. And I was like, wow, that's really beautiful. And so let us know about goddess spirituality and like, why do you think women should practice?
Okay. Well, when you were talking, it brought up things, other things. So I hope I'm not going like straying away from the question. But the first thing I want to say is that I'm not preaching goddess religion. Mm. So I'm not antagonizing God in the way religions have portrayed God, which is for most religions, I think, a Santa Claus looking white man with a white beard on a throne. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
So it's not in opposition to a God.
Yeah.
So it's not, I'm not preaching, and also this is not goddess religion. Hmm. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because my experience of the interpretation of African spiritualities is this almost like the need to impose codes of religion.
Yeah.
So you have the family of Orishas.
Yeah.
And it's them and only them. Mm-hmm. In reality, it is true. And it is probably needed, again, because of history, because of what we've experienced. It probably was at some point, 20, 30 years ago, probably it was needed to reaffirm this pride of honoring our ancestry that was lost.
Yes.
Okay. Because those are ancestors. Orishas, for me, do not need to be worshipped. Mm. They are our guides. That's why there's a lot of divination also when you go to different priests of those spiritualities. So they're our guides. We're supposed to stay in contact with them to hear their messages. That's why I say, if you do any type of initiation, if you have not seen in your travel, and you know, once you do the initiation, if at some point, whether it lasts 2 weeks, 3 days or whatever, if you have not met at least one emissary of your ancestries, I would question the process of your initiator, of the person that brought you there. Because the point is to meet your ancestors. Hmm. The point is to not even need someone to be the messenger between you and your ancestor. That's why you initiate. Hmm. To not have to go to, for me, my Santeria priest to say, hey, Padrino, you know, I have this thing going on in my life right now. Can you please throw the, you know, the curry shells to give me answers from Oshun? Yeah. No. This is what you do before you initiate. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you initiate, it means you are in, you have the key, you have the code to unlock your iPhone to connect with them. So there are our guides and our protectors. They're supposed to tell us, okay, now you're doing something. I know you want to do this, but no, go back to doing this. You're supposed to be able to communicate with them every day.
Okay.
A couple of nights ago, I was awakened, like I was shaking because there was a meeting of my ancestors.
Yeah.
And I was not in that meeting, but I was, I don't even know how to say it. This was the first time it happened to me. My ancestors communicate to me through my heart. Okay. That's where they're, oh my God, I don't, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Just say it. We no, don't be like,
no, this is initiation stuff.
Okay. Cool. That's fine.
But anyways, so this is where, if you have laser rays eyes and you see things,
yeah,
you can even see their face here.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.